We got a homecoming of sorts. Yes, Rafael Devers returns. Marcelo Meyer, too, which I actually completely forgot about because everyone's been talking about Rafael. Will they boo him? But in studio with us now, a gentleman who's going to have his own kind of special night as well. The baseball isn't boring night right around the corner. Our own buddy Rob Bradford, brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery as well as expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. So are you going to be standing there, Rob, and just do it, bring the boo birds out when Rafael Devers shows up?
I mean, no, I'm orchestrating it from the standing up in the press box like like a conductor.
No booing in the press box.
No booing. Who knows? Who knows? We don't know what's going to happen, Ken. All I know is that you guys are awesome. I appreciate it. There's nobody I'd rather be talking to. McFarland to you all. Mm-hmm. And also RedSox.com/BIB. There's a few tickets left. So it's going to be a great night. Maybe Devers will be there, come back. Who knows? We don't know. Celebrating 2018 all over again. And that's my way of integrating. Let's remember 2018. Rafael Devers was a big part of that. They won a World Series. There's a reason he signed a $300 million contract, because he's a good player. Sure, he was overpaid. Sure, they would probably want that contract back. All of that. He was a very good player that did a lot of good things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will say this, though. But I think there'll be more boos than cheers.
There will be, of course.
Yeah. But, you know, but Rob, I said it earlier. You're cheapening the boo by booing Rafael Devers. Like, I mean, there's legitimate people that you boo, like Kyrie Irving, Matt Cook. You know, A-Rod, Roger Clemens as a Yankee. Like, these are all ones that are worth booing. Like, this dude just had a weird breakup at the end. But the guy's like the 10th best hitter in Red Sox history, and he helped you win a championship. It's like, come on, let's. We used to be strict with our boos. We used to be somebody who, like, we were standards. What happened to us?
10th most home runs in Red Sox, not the 10th best hitter.
I'm sorry, most home runs. I apologize, of course.
He's a very good Ken. Come on, don't semantics. He's very, very good.
I was on a roll there, Ken.
Sorry.
But
I want to be factually accurate.
It's funny because there's a part of me that said it's been a year. There's been like the time heals all wounds. If it was like this time last year, I think undeniably there would be boos. Like, what do you mean you aren't going to pick up a glove? And then days later, you're picking up a glove. Like, what is happening? But I will say this. Friday night at Fenway, we all understand. Like, Friday night at Fenway, it's a different crowd. It's a different demographic. And I do think that when people want to sort of enact their will on something and be heard and be the cool kids, it's not giving the polite clap and the cheer. It is being the boo. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, it comes to the Contreras thing the other day. Whoever that was, the people who did that, they're like, oh, look at me. I'm going to boo him. Mm-hmm. Do you think that, like, they actually believe that the guy should be booed? Probably not. So I do think there's that element we have to factor in with tonight's crowd, because it's Friday night and it's pour beer in my face night.
Bradfo, I got to ask you, do you feel like the Rafael Devers kind of story, it happened, in my mind, I'm curious if you feel the same way, so fast, like all of a sudden, you know, last spring training, here comes Alex Bregman. Oh, wait a minute. They want you to move to DH. And it was, and then all of a sudden, we want you to move to first. Have you ever seen like a fall?
No.
An athlete who was on top and then fall so fast.
No.
And then traded so fast.
No, he swung and missed. He saw 50 straight fastballs at one point in his career and, like, swung and missed at every one of them, and nobody, like, oh, he'll figure it out because he's a good hitter. He'll land where he's going to land. And he made more errors than anybody at third base for about three or four straight years. But they
to
your point, like, they're like, okay, that's cool. That's fine. When you land at that moment, when we had the bench interview with Rafael Devers in spring training, and he's like, No. I mean, that was, okay, here we go. This is going to be different, and it didn't let off. What people forget about the Devers situation, they remember that. They remember the end. What they forget in spring training, the guy only played 5 Grapefruit League games.
Yeah.
Like, and then
I forgot he got off to a horrible start.
The worst start in the history of starts.
Yeah.
I mean, struck out whatever it was, 17 to 19 plate appearances. And that's a terrible look when you wouldn't play in a Grapefruit League game.
Yeah.
Good point.
You're so this is all of it led up to it. And then for me, the last straw was really, you know, the You call out Breslow, and then you say, I'm not going to pick up a glove. I'm not even going to work out at first. We need a first baseman. I don't care. Yeah. And then 2 days later that you're with the Giants, you're doing that exact thing. But to your point, Ted, you're absolutely right. It from that moment where it was before and after that bench interview, mm-hmm. and it was wild because another thing, I was actually talking to my co-owner, Joe, coming in because, I remember he'd already said this. When they had the Tyler Austin fight, when they had the bench clear against the Yankees.
Joe Kelly you're talking about.
Yeah, Joe, yeah. CEO Joe. Yeah, so.
Oh, I just like how you toss that out there. Just Joe. Nice.
Just Joe.
Well, I mean, listen.
Says, I mean, he's kind of a famous guy there, Rob Bradford.
He will be on September 2nd. But I will say this. I always remember him saying this about Devers. In that fight, Devers was the guy above everybody. He identified as the guy who ran in. Who wanted to basically say, okay, and think about that. He was like, what, 21, 22, 23, whatever he was. But Joe always identified Devers because they had a team meeting after that fight to call out people, say, hey, it's not good when the bullpen coach is beating in the outfielders to the brawl. Yeah. But Devers and Mitch Moreland were the two guys he identified, said those guys were dogs when it came to that stuff. And wow. That's the thing that sort of has come and went when it comes to Rafael Devers.
Yeah. Now, real quick, I know you just went on San Francisco radio. They interviewed you, not right. Vice versa, but what do they think about Devers? You get any vibe of what?
Nah.
No. No comment.
I think they're apathetic to the season, right? No, I mean, I think
he's not having a bad season though. Like he's hitting dogs. Yeah. He's just striking out a lot.
It's a terrible park for him. We knew that was going to be the case. We knew that the contract wasn't going to last or be a good one for them. But at the same time, I'll go back to a year ago or whenever he was traded, and I went on that same station and like, listen, like how can you not be happy if you're a Giants fan? There's only so many guys in the game who can do what Rafael Devers does when he's at his best. And that's middle of the order presence. And by the way, this team could still use him. I don't care what he said. This team, when you get to the postseason, you need the alphas that the other team has to get through. The Judges, Mickey the Otanis, Gasper. The Mickey Gaspers.
Like, the guy's hot.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean,
Alex Seagulls.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah. Tony Seagulls, yeah. Those guys.
Don't rip Tony. Why are you so down on Seagulls?
Dude, I'm just waiting.
I thought you liked him. I thought you were a big Seagulls guy.
I did. I'm just worried about the postseason. That's all.
All right. Okay.
These guys coming through in the postseason.
Well, he might not be on the roster, so you won't have to worry about
that. That's my point.
Yeah.
Mickey Gasper, a.k.a. WB Mason, will. He'll be up there. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Chin spinach. Bombs. I like that. Yeah.
That's right. Absolutely. All right. Speaking of people on this team who were on this team and are on this team who get booed, let's talk a little bit about Contreras. First of all, did you get to hear, I forget what her name was. I think it was a Marine who was on with us yesterday. She was in the stands.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Yeah. I do like the fact that she kind of turned the narrative on its head and, you know, told the story about how this dude in the crowd with his 12-year-old son, which is hysterical, he's doing it in front of his son, was like picking fights. With Garrett Whitlock. And they were turning around. This happened well before Contreras came over. So Contreras, you know, ends up getting that out. And when he walked over, he heard this guy jawing at the pitchers and was just like, come on, dude, give it up. So he was essentially like sticking up for his pitchers and wasn't like instigating anything and doing all that. And, but it is interesting how the crowd booed him despite, you know, the Chad Tracy saying that they had a discussion that he wasn't 100%. What did you think of all that at that point?
Yeah, I said this yesterday. People may get upset over this. Like, I think the crowd booing him, they're idiotic. Like, in this case. Because when you did it before, maybe you don't have all the information. It is what it is. Like, he was banged up. Maybe you don't understand that. All you do is you know that your team's on a heater, everybody's busting their butt, and all of a sudden you see this guy not running out the ball, initial reaction to boo. But then you hear about, okay, this is the reality of the situation. It is the reality of the situation. There is a reason why this guy hasn't been as good as he has been, because he's banged up from stem to stern. That's fine. So when it happens again, to boo, like, okay, dude, like, it's okay. And by the way, if anyone wants to go back to last year, when Alex Bregman came back and he had a bad hamstring, go look at him running down the line. I mean, not even running down the line.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is how it is.
That's true. He dogged it a lot.
Well, they told him to.
Right.
They literally told him, say, don't run hard to first base.
But he missed, almost 2 months of playing, right?
Yeah, well, he came back. He came back probably too early. But it said, and this is one of the things with Contreras It's like, not to say he had the same thing as Bregman, but the guy is banged up. And I do think, from what I know and seen of the guy, he is a guy who plays through stuff. Mm-hmm. And he reminds me a lot of Adrian Beltre a few years ago, where, you know, Adrian Beltre would have a severed hamstring and come out back the next day. I don't even know how that's possible, but he reminds me of him. But it comes back to the booing thing, Rich. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm just like, hey, man, like, you guys, it is what it is. I don't understand, like, booing that guy with the benefit of the doubt that we should be giving
Brad
him folks, this
point. Do you think players care about that stuff?
Oh, I mean, we're all humans, right?
Yeah, I know, but I'm just curious. Do you
football
think-
players, though, like, you don't really get, like, you don't get booed. Right, your team gets booed.
Yeah, because you're not highlighted. Just like in baseball, you walk up to the plate to hit.
Kickers get booed.
Kickers, right? Yeah. So it's everyone's out there. You don't know who you're booing if it's all 11 are out there. Yeah. Who are we booing at, kind of thing, you know? So where baseball, it's clear who you're booing at.
Yeah, and I think that the tack that he took was Boston fans are the best, you know, passion. And it comes back to what they were saying the first 2 months of the season when they were saying sell the team. And you had multiple guys in there saying, hey, dude, like, we don't want to hear that, but this is our lot in life. This is the bed that we made.
Yeah.
And if we don't, if because we are playing bad, that is why they are doing these chants. This is why they're booing us. So they're going to keep leaning on the passion of this. That's what Contreras did. Mm-hmm. But yeah, human nature. I mean, you don't want to, especially when you're like in first place.
You're right.
No, the best player on the team.
You're right.
By the way, my favorite part of that story was allegedly Jaren Duran walked up when he heard all the Garrett Whitlock getting razzed and just turned around and then thought better of it and went back down into the dugout.
He's learning.
Everybody's learning.
He's learning. Growth.
He's learning. All right. Speaking of Wilson Contreras, we asked him about the return of Roman Anthony, and I thought his answer was just telling, because it is going to be a strange process having Roman, Trevor Story, and all these guys return. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Oh, it is 93.7 WEEI. Rich certainly, Ken Laird, Ted Johnson, and another person on the Rich bandwagon.
Not just another person, one of your favorites, your Dan Shaughnessy. I mean, it's like all the classics are agreeing with your take. I'm surprised Grantland Rice hasn't come out and said, I agree with you, Rich.
Listen, man,
let's take that old taggy off. You don't do this to a baseball skipper.
When Shaughnessy's fro says it, then it should happen. So thank you very much, Dan Shaughnessy, and your curly coif. I'm a huge fan of his take on that indeed they should get rid of that stupid interim tag. It's dumb and it's stupid, and there's no reason that they have it. The one thing I don't have any kind of real answer on, and this is something that I'm sure someone like Rod Bradford or could do some digging on, is that, you know, is there a chance that they could go this entire season, not give him the interim tag, and then another team swoops in and signs him
offers him
a lot more money?
According to Rob, the digging he has done on it, he is signed through next season under his AAA deal, and that still applies. So the Red Sox would have the rights to him, and in fact, during a lockout, he could theoretically go back and manage Worcester, you know, because that team will play, which is mind-blowing, you know?
Okay, but there's something different about that, because you remember how, like if you have a contract as a coordinator or assistant coach, if another team offers you a head coach, doesn't that, like, if it's a different position, doesn't that mean that you can get out of your contract? Isn't that what it is?
I think that's is that a hockey thing where if you get, like...
If you get a promotion from somebody else, doesn't that mean that, like, you can get out of that contract? I don't know. All I know is that if there's even a chance of that, what are you doing? And also, it's just, like, it's a dick move. The guy's, like, earned it. He's absolutely earned being the manager, and right now... they're going to eventually give it to him, and it's kind of theater. But if it's theater, then just do it.
I think they actually want to just prevent. There is still a chance they could collapse. I don't want to say it's a good chance. I mean, technically, it's an 8% chance, according to FanGraphs, because 92% odds of making the postseason. So maybe they just want to wait till they clinch, and the day they clinch, they'll give him a new deal. I mean, maybe that's something. I don't know.
And then you know what's going to happen the day after? He's going to get an enormous deal from somebody else. Like, I mean, somebody, Chad Tracy has already proven to Major League Baseball that he deserves to be a manager. And whether it's for the Red Sox or for someone else, next year he is going to be a, not interim, he is going to be the manager of one of the many Major League Baseball teams, without a question.
I do like him. He's got good qualities. Now, he might be a little soft. We do get that, you know, accusation. He's got to be tougher on these guys. We had a caller suggest that earlier. But I just think he handles things well. He's got a very slow heartbeat. He's pretty good as a public speaker and face of the team. So there's not a lot not to like, you know, just experience. That's it.
Can I tell you something Chad Tracy does that it's one of those weird things that if this team continues to win, he's going to look like a genius. But if for some reason they blow it, it's going to come back and people are going to point at this. You know, after the team was late coming in from Colorado, we actually asked him about this when you had Chad Tracy on this week. Actually, no, we asked Siegler about it. After the team came back late from Colorado and got to play the Yankees, and they arrived at like 5 o'clock. The team went on this tear, but since that moment, Chad Tracy ended up making the report times for the players way later than like almost any other. I've never heard of report times this late. It's like 4 or 5 o'clock. Usually when a team has to arrive at the ballpark, isn't it usually around like 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon?
Yeah, it must change. It differ for each team, but yeah, it's pretty early. Yeah.
But now, and according to Siegler, we said, you know, is this like a superstitious thing or was it something that Chad Tracy actually believed, you know, helped you guys play better? And Siegler said, it's great for us because, you know, we play a lot of baseball and it gives us more time to spend with our families. It gives us more time to, you know, be away from the game. So when we show up, we're just ready to play. Now, that is one of those comments that, as I said, could go one way or the other. If they win, you could be like, man, this guy, he's a genius, can get right into their heads. He's like a psychiatrist. He knows exactly what they need and what brings out the best of them. But if they lose, it's like, you weren't taking this seriously. You were letting these guys go jack around with like friends and family and screw around instead of being in there, getting their workouts in. And I find it so fascinating because I've never heard of a manager having these report times so late. Like they're really late now. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, according to the players, it was like what, like 4:30 or 5 o'clock that they can show up now, which is kind of hysterical seeing that we broadcast from Fenway and we see how many people are there at 5 o'clock. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, no, I just went out. In fact, I just took a little stroll out in the outfield here, sick brag, at Fenway and watched a little BP. Jaron Duran's out there throwing a ball off the notch in center and fans are watching him and he's doing his workouts and it's 5 o'clock. It seems like there's plenty of time. Even if he just showed up 10 minutes ago, that seems like enough time to me. I mean, I don't know what, I guess there's cage work and you're saying like, weight room stuff, is that what you're, you know, saying they need to get in and get that?
Not even weight room stuff, but like the stuff you're talking about. Just, I mean, like, you know, getting out and, doing what they do in the field. I've seen them, like, taking grounders before and just, you know, getting, like, some sort of on-field workout in. And it just, I'm not used to this. And to be honest, none of us have played the game at this level. So I don't know exactly how much of that you need to get yourself warm for one of these games. But all I know is that when we asked Siegler about it, he thought it was the greatest. Right, he was like, man, we get to hang out and do more, and we don't have to show up as late. And
the inmates run the asylum, basically, is what, you know, kind of what it is. But they're not making that many mental mistakes that would make you second-guess it, right? If they're, like, missing signs or, you know, being shoddy in the field or whatever, then you would focus more attention on it.
Yeah, I mean, since that moment, I mean, that's when they went on that tear. So, right. I mean, like, whether or not that is the genius of Chad Tracy or it's just happens to be a coincidence, and as I said, if they end up blowing it, I guarantee it's gonna be one of those things people are gonna look at. But right now, it seems like it's working, and it was kind of funny. I like Siegler's just so we get to hang out with our friends and family longer, and it's just like not usually what you would hear a polished player come out and say. But I mean, he was being honest. He was being 100% honest, and he thought that that is something that helped this team play better, and my God, it doesn't seem to have hurt him that bad. I mean,
Devers would have loved this. He would have shown up like first pitch. You know, if he... sure, by the way, here's a quote Cotillo had from Devers, which I think is very funny, ironic. He was asked how he'd like to be remembered by Red Sox fans. Quote, I really don't know, but what I'd like to say is that I play baseball the right way. I play very hard. I always give 100% for the team. End quote.
Yeah, for when you don't want to play the position that they ask you to, and you
don't think that's how he's going to be remembered necessarily, there, Rafi. But
Once again, he was a dick at the end, but not enough to boo. Like it wasn't something that was like I don't think it's boo worthy, but I do. I mean, especially for all that he did beforehand. I mean, my guy, the guy obviously had a zillion home runs for this team.
Well, as one texter points out, 865. I'm not sure where that is. Devers isn't helped by the fact that many of his really good years came in seasons when the Red Sox absolutely sucked, which makes him easy to forget.
Sure. That's a good point. It's a really good point.
It is kind of a good point.
Yeah. I love that that guy referenced the Pablo Sandoval belt smashing open picture, because it's truly one of the all-time, oh my God, this is a bad contract moments. Sandoval, my God. I remember when they got him, they had pictures of him with like a stuffed panda, like, oh, the big panda's here. And then it was just like, I'm eating. I'm just going to get fat. There's that picture of him when he was supposed to like watch his weight. Remember that picture of him with the giant sundae? And he's the happiest he's ever been. And you're like, I'm eating.
What a disaster that was. 508 texter, if the team shows up at 5, they should make Duran report at noon so he doesn't make a mental mistake, which he does at least every day. Oh, so Duran is such a polarizing figure, isn't he not? He's like either loved and you buy his jersey or you just hate him. Well, I mean, Arcand is like, I heard Arcand off the mic last night. He's like, oh, Duran's the problem. You know, like, people just get down on him, and he could be part of the solution. I still have a little faith in Jaren.
You can't get rid of him, according to one of the callers, because he brings the dames to Fenway Park. He's the eye candy. There was a guy who called in, and literally that was his reason why you couldn't get him, because hot chicks show up because of Jaren Duran. Well, there you go. I guess maybe he's the one. He's bringing all the women here. All right, 617-779-7937. What's that?
Succubus.
Let's not get into that. Teddy J is all about the succubus. All right, we'll take your calls next.
Tonight, Sox and Giants. The Mass Mutual pregame show starts at 6:10. First pitch, 7:10. On the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network.
That is a Lemmy Flemmy classic.
From the archives.
How about that? A little Motorhead plus Will Fleming gives us a Lemmy Flemmy. Oh. Right here on 93.7 WEEI. Rich Shurtleff, Ken Laird, Ted Johnson. You can call us at 617-779-7937. As the drive home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We're at Fenway right now, and the return of Rafael Devers is today, and you have a couple of updates from Chad Tracy, correct, Ken, about some of these players that were, like, I mean, man, there's so many different pieces right now looking to return to this team. What's the update we have so far?
Yeah, and by the way, so, like, tonight, Monasterio is at short, and that it's going to continue for a couple days, but tonight in Worcester, or I guess in Syracuse, Trevor Story playing 9 innings at shortstop, and he'll play Saturday as well in Worcester, according to Chad Tracy.
But okay.
Getting close. Roman Anthony will be the DH for Portland tonight. He'll be off Saturday and then play the outfield on Sunday, so he's getting close.
Okay.
Kiner Falefa is off tonight, then he'll play 9 innings at second base for the Woo Sox on Saturday, so he's getting close. Maybe the most interesting to me is Garrett Crochet. Throwing out to 90 feet, quote, with more intensity, end quote, making good progress. And so he and also Tanner Houck has thrown BP in Fort Myers, I guess is a longer shot, but you got two other pitchers in the hopper there. Whitlock also throwing out to 120 feet and making good progress. So good news on Crochet and Whitlock. One guy that is not throwing yet is Justin Slayton, so that's the one downer. Looks like he could be out for a considerable more period of time.
Doesn't that say to you that Crochet could possibly be back in some sort of relief mode for the playoffs?
Yep, no doubt.
Man, how awesome would that be? I mean, you talk about a team that's, boy, I mean, things aren't looking great. You got to think about, like, I mean, this is where you're going to find out really how good of a manager that Chad Tracy is, because he's got to figure out some way to make these arms last. And it's been a storyline about Peyton Tolley and how good he is, but he is way past the amount of pitches he's ever thrown in a season. Speaking of that, The Athletic came out with their ranking of best pitchers in Major League Baseball, and Tolley, the highest-ranked Red Sox, he's at number 14.
Really?
Yep.
Wow, ahead of Sonny Gray, Mr. 15 wins.
Sonny Gray's not even in the top 20, which is interesting to me, but the names are pretty strong. I mean, I'm looking at his list, and it's kind of a bunch of killers. Mizorowski's number one, then Scooble, Chris Sale. How funny is that? That he's just so great. He's at number three, and then, I mean, there's other names on here like Dylan Cease, Blake Snell. These are Jacob DeGrom is the immediately ahead of Tolley, but Tolley's getting the respect, and maybe it's all recency bias because other than this past one, the two outings before that were just like, the 14
strikeout game that put him on the map. I feel like that got some notice around the league. And yeah, I agree. He's going to be your third starter. Now, if they ever needed a fourth in a playoff game, assuming they make a second round, would you consider Crochet starts for an inning or two, and then Bayo comes in as the bulk guy in the middle?
I mean, it's kind of unfair to Crochet. I believe, like, especially if it's like in the playoffs, to go from being gone for an entire season to only having a couple games, it's more than likely he'll only have a couple games to warm up before the playoffs. I mean, listen, does it make sense? Sure. Is Bayo the greatest reliever in baseball right now? I believe ERA-wise, he is. Right. And does he still need a fluffer for some reason? It's just truly hysterical.
And you like the lefty fluffer because then they set their lineup to face a lefty, and then the righty comes in. So it kind of would be a perfect morphing of two guys into one pitcher.
Yeah, listen, if they could be Master Blaster throughout the playoffs, I'd be totally cool with that. That would be amazing to me if the two of them as a pair could go in there. You get Crochet either doing, like, you know, the first two innings, and then here comes Bayo just to mow him down. I mean, yeah, it couldn't work any better, but that is so unfair to Garrett Crochet. Can you imagine that? Like, you haven't played in a real game for almost an entire season, and then it sounds like you would only have, like, 2 to 3 actual games to play until the playoffs. I don't know, but
that's,
then again,
that's why you're getting paid the big money, $170 million, you know.
I was just about to say that. Then there's gonna be people like, dude, you get paid a ton of money, get out there and pitch, you know. You need to be the starter, go do it. Well,
actually, you know, compared to Roman, like, Crochet, nobody's criticized Garrett Crochet at all, right? It's just like, all right, he's got a shoulder thing, let's let him not rush him. I haven't heard one person say, why isn't Crochet back, you know?
I think it's because he's been around for a while and he's proven that he's somebody that is a, like, a dirt dog and someone who's there to be trusted. Like, I think he's earned the trust that he's doing everything he can to get back. Crochet's been in the game for a little bit, whereas Roman Anthony's a kid. And you know, and Reddit is a mean thing. Reddit is a very tough thing to have to, you know, hear yourself written about, going, you know, plowing through Southie or whatever he's doing. You know, that's, once again, I find all that stuff ridiculous, but it doesn't mean that there isn't a little bit of truth in some of that. Just, I mean, you're young. I don't know how I would act. Like, if somebody gave me, if I was a single guy and somebody gave me $1 zillion like he just got, and you were one of the most famous people in town, you're telling me that you wouldn't do all of the things that Reddit says Roman Anthony is doing.
Well, of course. I mean, like, well, maybe not some of the things. There was, you know, some espionage going on there or whatever.
Oh, sure.
Inter-family relations.
And then he dated his sister and he got punched in the face. I keep coming back. That one's my favorite. But yeah, I mean, like, anybody who says that you would resist the temptation and be like 21 years old, like cash that you've never seen before in your life, and you're one of the most famous people in the entire city, that you wouldn't do exactly what all those reports are saying.
Right, and he's not married. He doesn't have he's not tied down, so he can have at it. One thing, just from a baseball standpoint, maybe this is a little boring, but Will Middlebrooks, our guy, had tweeted this out, that he doesn't care about rehab game stat lines. So he doesn't care if Roman Anthony goes 0 for 3 like he did last night and struck out once. I have a really tough time with that one because as we got excited about the home run, like, shouldn't we care about the results in Double-A? I want to see him smash Double-A pitching. Like, I get it. It's not the end of the world. He's trying to get his timing back okay. I mean, I'm not a former player. I don't know. But it just seems like he's got to – I wouldn't want to call Roman up until he's really crushing Double-A pitching, right?
Well, that's – okay, so you're leading to a great point here. And Rob Bradford talked about it a little bit ago, too, on our show, is that obviously Rutschman came back too early. There's not even a question. I do like the fact that it sounds like, you know, Story said the other day that he was going to be back on Friday, and they're not bringing him back. Like, they are keeping him for at least over the weekend and maybe even a little bit longer. I like that they're not rushing these guys back. Like, you want them to be right. Let the dudes that are here, they seem to be doing okay without them right now. God knows you want to get at least like a couple of weeks in with a guy like Roman Anthony before the playoffs. That would be nice. Story, I'm not even as worried about. Roman Anthony, to me, is the one that you got to start. And to me, I'm not even counting on Garrett Crochet playing in the postseason. I think that would just be a bonus. Roman Anthony needs to play in the postseason. And I think that out of all the guys that right now we're looking at, he's the one that you've got to figure out some sort of way to have him come up here and get at least a couple of weeks in. I don't want to say rush him back because he's been gone for so long, but he's the one that I believe they need the most. And
also,
you know,
I believe that on September 1st, the rosters expand to 28 up from 26, so they'll have two more spots where they could just add a guy and not be forced to play him. You know what I mean? So if they could just wait another week, you'll get that option.
Yeah, and also I'm waiting. You know, I like the fact that Roman Anthony's playing. And, you know, I know that Middlebrooks said don't worry about, like, how they do in rehab. I just want to make sure he doesn't drop the bat in pain. Because, I mean, it was like, 3 weeks ago he could barely even hold a bat because it was so painful. And now he's hitting fastballs. So, you know, show me that you're not going to, like, absolutely scream next time you make a contact and a pain goes throughout your body that's unbearable, because that's what it sounded like for so long.
Put him in the trash monster costume and make him go around that for a night. You know, really just make sure the guy's ready to go.
You know what? How about that? How about next time one of like the players like jaws off at somebody in the stands? Like, you know, like next time Jaren Duran like starts screaming at dude, he's got to serve time as the trash monster over in Portland.
One of the guys I do play-by-play with down in Worcester, Mike Antonellis, used to work in Portland for a long time. He said he has been in the trash costume. He confirms that the head is down near the mouth so you can see out of it. So the trash, I guess, like hits slightly above your head when you're in there. People do whip it into the mouth of the trash monster.
There's some actual weight to like a half-filled cup of Coke. Like when you whip that thing at the poor person inside of the trash monster costume. Like, I mean, that's... You know, I'm not saying it's concussion stuff, but it's obviously, you're not getting tickled with a feather. Yeah, no question. All right, it is time for Ken versus everybody, but you know what? Christian Arcand's going to be here, right? Is Christian going to be here?
Well, he's due to be here, so let's see. I mean, his arrival time is always a little Jackson-esque. You never can quite predict. But, hey, Jackson was here early today. He was ready to go, so good job by Jackson. Let's see if Arcand is.
Jackson's got a million things going on behind the scenes, and he's been able keep everything afloat. So thank you, Jackson. You've done a great job.
All right.
How about this? We will take your calls. You'll either be going up against the GOAT or you'll be going up against Ken, who's the semi-GOAT. So, all right? So if Christian is here, you're going to be tested against the best, and if not, hell, maybe you'll win. 617-779-7937. It is Ken versus everybody. You know how it goes. Five questions. The category am I choosing? Can you beat Ken or Christian if he ends up showing up? Caller number three. That's 617-779-7937. We will do that next.
Your game, your way. Take your pre- and post-game coverage on the go. Download the Odyssey app and search WEEI.
Ted Johnson and you listening on the Odyssey app, leaving us messages by pressing that little microphone button. And you know
I'm afraid I got some bad news for our contest winner. The GOAT is here. Arcand in the building, so sorry.
You gotta go head-to-head with the GOAT today? I like it. Yep. I like it. You know, listen, if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. That's what they say. Mm-hmm. And Christian Arcand is the best. So what do you say? Is he there? Has he got the headphones on?
Yes, he's warming up. He's got his Aquavelva.
I'm here. I can tell Bradfo was here, though, because there's crumbs on this microphone.
Wow. Coming in hot.
I'm just saying. I know. I can tell when, like, Bradfo's been here before. I can see see it right here on the mic.
Who leaves the most crap in the studio?
Curtis.
Curtis? I've listened to him.
Not on the microphone so much, but, like, on the floor and all around, like, all the surfaces for sure. Mm. Yeah, Bradfo, he's... Bradfo like snacks on the air, you can hear it, and then like the crumbs all spill onto the microphone.
Wow. Yeah, there's a mental block with me where I for some reason never like suspend from eating a snack right before we're about to go on the air. I've gone on the air a million times with a mouthful and just like an idiot, let's talk with it. I was like, well, you know what, I guess that's me. if you hang out with me, I'm disgusting anyway, so I'm gonna be disgusting on the air. All right. Now that the GOAT is here, it is time. Four, Arcand versus everybody. Let's go to Steve on line three. Steve, how's it going, my man? How you doing?
Very good, buddy. Let me say one thing. Babyface should be booed tonight.
Ooh. Babyface Devers. It's going to be interesting, man. Listen,
he will be.
All I know is that the guy, you know, I'm one of those people who think that there needs to be a bigger standard for boos, but why the hell not? Let's go for it. It's a Friday night. Let's have some fun. Sure, let's boo the babyface. I'm with you, Steve. All right, so Christian, get your ass in another room. Go to the soundproof booth.
Okay, bye.
Get out of here. You know how this works. All right, so Steve... here's how it goes. I'm not sure if you have played before or not, but I'm damn glad to have you because you're going up against the best. And I got a category of my choosing, five questions. If you can answer as many or more than Christian Arcand, then you, sir, are the grand champion. There's no prize, just bragging rights and just radio glory. Sound good, Steve?
Sounds great.
All right, Steve. You got 5 seconds to answer each one, and your category today is vending machine cuisine. Ooh. Vending machine cuisine. Jackson, you can hit the bed. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Number one, this snack answers the question, what if a circus elephant tasted like drywall? Three seconds.
Oh.
Ooh, moving on. Sorry. Number two. No. You don't, Jackson. You don't play that there.
Sorry, wrong button.
That's all right. Number two.
You're doing so well.
I know. We're almost there, Jackson. Number two. A meat-flavored number two pencil endorsed by a dead wrestler.
Oh, come on, Steve.
Oh, 3 seconds.
Oh.
There's all things in a vending machine. Okay, gotta move on to the next one. Number three. This snack lets you enjoy all the romance of onion breath without ever actually eating an onion.
Onions.
Oh, you got it. All right. Here comes the comeback. Number four. I'm convinced that no one has ever purchased this bag of flaming hot fries named after a comic strip character that nobody knows that's in every vending machine. Three seconds.
Nothing.
All right. And finally, a tiny sewer pipe of a pretzel carrying nacho cheese flavored caulk.
Boy.
What? Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
sorry,
man. Steve, this was not your category. Now, not Jackson, is when you play. Now, there we go.
Okay. You got one.
You got one. I thought that was kind of easy, Ken. What did you think?
Yeah, I think I got four of the five. Now, this is right up Arcan's alley as well, so I think this is going to be a clean sweep. I have utmost faith in him to crush this category.
How many did you do, Jackson? How many did you get?
I got three of them.
Okay, wow, a little tougher than I thought. I thought this was going to be a clean sweep. All right, so Christian, the good news is you only have to beat one.
Okay.
One,
which means you need
five.
Two. You got to get two.
Got to get two, yeah, sure.
Yes. Okay. That is the math, yes. The two would beat one in this case. All right, are you ready, Christian?
I'm ready.
Your category is vending machine cuisine.
Okay.
Things found in a vending machine. Vending machine cuisine. Question number one. This snack answers the question, what if a circus elephant tasted like drywall?
What if it, what?
What if a circus elephant tasted like drywall?
Tasted like drywall? Smart food?
That is incorrect. Number two. A meat-flavored number two pencil endorsed by a dead wrestler.
That would be a Slim Jim.
That is correct. Number three. This snack lets you enjoy all the romance of onion breath without ever actually eating an onion.
Those would be delicious Funyuns.
That is correct. Number four, I'm convinced that no one has ever purchased this bag of flaming hot fries named after a comic strip character that nobody knows that's in every vending machine.
Andy Cap.
That is correct. Andy Cap's hot fries. And number five, a tiny sewer pipe of a pretzel carrying nacho cheese flavored caulk.
Those are combos.
That is correct. All right. You got four to five.
Good job.
Not bad.
I didn't know what you were getting at with combos. That one stumped me.
Yeah, it's like a sewer pipe of a pretzel carrying nacho cheese flavored caulk.
A little cheese.
Yeah, with a cheese. Okay, all right.
What was the elephant one?
First one's got animal crackers, right?
Yeah, animal crackers. There you go. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was going to be circus peanuts. Wow.
No, what if a circus elephant tastes like drywall? Crackers suck. Nobody wants those.
Yeah.
Right. All right, let's go to Steve. Steve, are you still there, buddy?
I'm still here.
I am so sorry, Steve. It was just your day. Not your day. You went up against the greatest, and unfortunately, he came to play today, Steve.
I'll get back in next time.
All right, sounds
get
good, Steve.
Nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Thank you, sir, for calling. Yeah, Andy Capp's hot fries are in every vending machine, and I'm like,
I like them.
Really?
I do.
I like them too.
They're greasy. I like them. Yeah, I don't know. They're not like good, but I do like them. Yeah.
I just love how Andy Capp is still a thing.
Capp was a goat comic. I really enjoyed.
He was in a real toxic relationship. From what I remember about that comic, him and his wife just going at it all the time.
Well, that was like the Lockhorns was essentially just like spouse abuse. The comic strip. It was all like,
is that the one I'm thinking of? Maybe that's the one I'm thinking of, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Lockhorn's just like, you burnt my dinner, I hate you, I'm going to hit you.
He was at the pub a lot, he was kind of lazy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Andy Capp was like a lazy drunk?
Yeah, yeah. Right. Irish guy, I think, or British guy, I'm not sure.
I think we need to raise the stakes, Rich. I think the lack of prize is bringing in competition that's just not really worthy of it. You know, like, I think we need to incentivize this a little bit.
Hey, Christian, I'm telling you, the phone it's like immediately the phone lines are full. I don't know how like having a prize would make any difference. Like,
no, I mean, maybe
you think, do you think normally someone would be like, gosh, you know, I was going to call in, but now that there's a prize, I don't think I'm good enough. You know,
now that there's like a Red Sox scarf. That's definitely something from the prize closet.
You know what? Maybe if someone beats you because you are like unbeatable, maybe we'll try to find something. It's such a pain in the ass to give away prizes. You have to get like 18 things approved in order to do it. Idea. Maybe just like a signed drawing from maybe someone can do like a Titanic drawing of me with my shirt off. And I can sign it, you know, like that way.
How about they can do the pregame show? How's that?
There you go. You can just come on the air. And just
or how about one of your hats, Christian?
Which, yeah, I have a lot of hats. You can have one of my
heads. One of your big comic heads that you have here.
Oh, no, I'm not giving those away. Those are precious.
Oh, like the
I got Pete the Meat. I got Ted Sarandis. I had a whole Mount Rushmore up in there.
But then Hillman took Shepherd head the other day. I was like, oh, my gosh, is that a Pete Shepherd head?
Oh, yeah. And
all right.
Dale.
Well, Christian, what you got going on today, buddy?
I got about 2 minutes, and then we go right into pregame. One of the more anticipated games here in a season that's had lots of up and downs. Rafi Devers is here, and there's going to be a lot of mixed emotions, I think, in the crowd tonight. Rainy night here at Fenway.
Decent amount of Giants fans here, Rich.
I've seen a lot of them, yeah.
Don't cheapen the boo. There used to be a standard for boos. Rafael Devers does not meet that standard. Sure, he's a gumpy-looking baby face, like our caller just said, but... no need to boo a guppy-looking baby face. Save it for when LeBron shows up in January. Then let's have some fun. Absolutely. All right, Christian, thank you so much. You were still the GOAT. Jackson, you held it down like nobody's business. Excellent work. We will see everybody next week. Everybody have a fantastic weekend. And let's go, Red Sox. We will see you later. We love you. Bye.